Upgrade your learning experience during Dell Technologies Back to School event with AI PCs like the Dell 14 Plus featuring an Intel Core Ultra processor starting at $749.99. Supercharge your studies with features like real-time notes transcription, AI-accelerated hardware to run multiple apps without slowing down, extended battery life, and more. That's the power of new AI PCs with Intel Inside. Discover a smarter way to learn at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You guys are going to go back in time.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Remember when Tyreek Hill, after the Miami Dolphins, didn't make the playoffs last year?
I'm out, bro. It was great.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When you say something like that, you don't just come back from that with, hey, my bad.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Look at Tua being honest about that.
It's a leader right there.
Yes.
Earlier on the show, Super Bowl champion Tyrann Mathieu, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, former NFL executive Joe Banner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. Phone lines are lit. I've got a top five coming up. The top five under the radar, least talked about training camp stories. And I think I've nailed them. And that's coming up. The Cleveland Browns decision and what Kevin Stefanski says is mapped out the way that he's going to figure out who the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns is going to be. Joe Flacco.
Flacco.
Apparently, latest Joe Flaccoism, he was asked about it. He said his young son is asking him about it. And then, of course, the Browns revealed their new all-brown helmet for some reason on a barge, and somebody fell off the side. And there's all of that.
I hope that's not a
all of that
for the season,
if you will, is coming up. Fun show already. Tom Pelissero in hour two.
Tommy P.
Also on this program in hour number one, a terrific conversation with the recent retiree, 12 years in the NFL, Tyrann Mathieu. If you missed any of it, the show re-airs on the Roku Sports channel, the Rich Eisen Show Fast channel, as well as our podcast. You can listen to us there all 3 hours every single day, wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. And then there's our YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, closing in on 960,000 subscribers on that one. Always get smarter talking to this guy. He's one of the best who's ever done it. Longtime president and general manager in this league, certainly serving with distinction all those years in Philadelphia and formerly of the Cleveland Browns organization. Joe Banner joining us back on this program. How are you, Joe? Good to see you, sir.
What's up, Joe?
I'm doing good, and I'm not going to deny I got a little kick out of your introduction, including the Browns' recent mishap.
Yeah, so. I don't know. Did you see this video, Joe, of somebody falling off the side of the barge? That one?
You couldn't script it better, could you?
This just in. Not really. All right, so What is happening, do you think, with Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys, Joe? And how do you think it's all going to work out or not? Joe, what do you think?
Well, it will work out in the last week before the season starts, as it does every time Jerry's in one of these situations. Jerry is doing what he does. And we should be clear, you know, there are some really smart GMs in this league, like Bill Polian. I think he was executive of the year like four or five times in the Hall of Fame, who believe that every single minute the risk of injury and play quality is on the player versus the team is a huge win for the team. So they wait to the last minute to do deals. I mean, you remember Peyton Manning had a tag on him while they were negotiating his deal. He got all the way to the point where he would have been a free agent without the tag. And they're still negotiating his contract. So there is a group of people, including some really smart people, that think waiting has benefits. Now, I've never believed that. I think we were the first team to start doing deals 2 years early, because I felt like by waiting, you're handing a lot of leverage to the player, because at that point, you got to do a deal 2 years early. You may not do a deal. You get two more shots at it. But, you know, he's doing what he's always done. I think it's the wrong thing, but I also think it's a mistake for people like, oh, is this going to ruin the Cowboys season? Or did last year when this happened ruin the Cowboys season? Because we've seen really smart GMs that believe in this philosophy. Now, as the cap has gone up so much, as contract values are going up, I mean, Myles Garrett did a deal a couple of years ago for $25 million. He did a deal a couple of months ago for $40. So the price of waiting is massively higher than it ever was. Yeah, Jerry's sticking with that philosophy. He's being true to himself. He's actually following the steps of some smart people. But I think it's a dated philosophy at this point.
Joe Banner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you like the T.J. Watt deal? Do you think the Steelers should have done that, Joe?
Well, I think they should have done it sooner, and then I think they were stuck. But allocating $40 million to that position, which to me, you know, you can see what the Eagles did when I was there and since. I mean, the defensive line is massively important. You can cover up so many weaknesses. I mean, we lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots playing with a mostly injured secondary. The Eagles won their Super Bowl, their first Super Bowl, with a mostly weak secondary. But both of those teams had dominant pass rushes and really smart schemes and really smart coordinators, and guess what? So I'm a huge believer in that, but starting to get to $40 million, I guess you're betting on how much the cap is going to keep going up. But you are playing with some players that have started to get injured a little more. Rarely does a player get older and get injured less. So, yes, I would have done the deal, but I never would have waited that long and taken the risk of the market getting away from me like that.
Yeah, you would have done it earlier because, I mean, there's no question when you say stock. I was saying that a different way of using, I guess, the phrase stock is that when you go in on Rodgers, right, and you know this is a 1 to 2 years, if you're lucky, 2 years if you're lucky, gambit, then you gotta, you're not gonna go into that one season with TJ Watt holding out or holding in or all of that stuff. At least they got it done before training camp. I mean, they had to do it. You had to do it.
Yeah, you had to do it for all the reasons you mentioned. Plus, you know, it's their personality. They probably care as much about the nature of the locker room and the positive feelings about who you're working for as any team in the league. And they've obviously changed some things as they got a new general manager in Cotton this year. But I don't think that's going to change. I think that's inherent to the Rooney family and the Rooney culture and philosophy. So for all the reasons you said, plus the fact that they so strongly believe in having a positive, appreciative locker room, and they think the only way you get that is by treating the players the right way, it had to get done, and it had to get done before camp started.
What do you think's going through the mind of Adam Peters, the general manager in Washington, with Terry McLaurin being spotted outside of a yoga class today rather than being in training camp with the team, Joe?
I mean, I think he's upset, and it's hard to know, you know, kind of whose side here you want to be sympathetic to, because I know Dan Quinn very well. I was part of the group that hired him in Atlanta. To be honest, I recommended we hire him in Cleveland, but got overruled. He cares a lot about the locker room as well. So does Adam. I think they want to set the tone that you work hard for us, you do the right things, we're going to reward you. So I suspect that McLaurin is being extremely aggressive. Now, there's two groups of possible comps he could be using on his deal. You got, you know, Jefferson and Chase that got $35 to $40 million a year in another exploding market. But then you got a real large number of $28 to $30 million per year, very good players, including A.J. Brown, who re-signed after some of these deals were done and took, I think it was $28.5 on the New Year's of his deal. So some really good receivers in that $30 million. Now, if McLaurin is asking to be in that, you know, Chase Jefferson deal, that's a bad situation for the Commanders because you want to keep him happy. You want to retain him. But I think he's literally like $5 to $10 million over what he should be asking for, if that's the case. On the other hand, if he is asking to be in this batch of players at $30 million per year, and then, you know, shame on the Commanders for not getting it done, keeping a good player, setting the right message. But I just know Dan too well, and Adam's a little less, but a little bit. I can't believe that unless the ask is just so aggressive, they feel they have to take a stand, why that deal wouldn't be done. So I tend to think the player may be a little over-asking at the moment.
Because,
but I still think it will get done, by the way.
Yeah, right. Because, again, in the same thing that I was saying about you're not going to have T.J. Watt in the midst of some sort of contractual standoff when you've got 1 year most likely of having Aaron Rodgers there to get you to the playoffs and finally win a playoff game for the Steelers fans that have been waiting close to a decade for that, or closing in on that. I mean, after Jaden Daniels' remarkable rookie season, what are you going to take away his favorite receiver? You're going to go through some sort of monetary standoff on that going into this massively big season with lots of opportunity? It makes no sense.
And this is exactly what the agent is saying. When he's talking to the player, if he's talking to anybody in the media, this is exactly what he's saying. He said, listen, I got a top-notch player. They have to get the deal done. I just need to stay strong. The player needs to support me and let me be tough, and I'm going to get him a really good deal, and it will be there in time for him to still have a really good season, which, by the way, isn't necessarily true. You know, Jerry made this comment the other day, and we did this at the Eagles. When a player holds out, and more than a couple of days, so consequential holdout, his risk of injury in the season goes up dramatically. So some of these people that are waiting, thinking, you know, well, you know, I may save a little bit on the deal, or I just want to not create a precedent that hurts me on the deals, whatever their rationale is, you know, it could actually have the opposite effect. They increase the chance that the first year of the deal, there's always the most money the first year of the deal because you got the signing bonus or whatever they're going to call it in that year, plus a salary. Mm-hmm. You know, you're running the risk of not getting what you deserve for that first year by letting them hold out. So there better be a pretty significant gap or you ought to get it done. Same thing with the Bengals rookie Stewart, who's holding out. There's no way that the language they're asking for, which at least Mike Brown claims only is protecting them in case the player who has had some trouble in his past got in more trouble, that he would not continue to have his guarantees. At least Mike, that's what Mike says. If that is the issue, all the player has to do is make sure he behaves well, and he's asking for nothing. So there's no way to rationalize missing camp, now missing training camp, over a language issue like that that may be harsher than most players, even the Bengals, have signed in the past. But, you know, if all you have to do is make sure you stay out of trouble, and the owner is asking for something completely meaningless if you do that, it's very hard to justify holding out. And with the history of the past, it's a little bit justifiable that the Bengals would be seeking that. I understand that if you have a player, for example Mike Brown used, he gets into a domestic problem and there's no consequence professionally to him, and all the Bengals seem to be asking for is the guarantee goes away. So they can still keep him, they can still pay him the money, all that kind of stuff, but it's not guaranteed. It just gives them leverage to try to make sure he's behaving and acting the right way.
Well, have you ever heard of a player say that it's apparent that they're not into about winning? And then leaves camp before he even plays a snap in the NFL. I mean, that I imagine to somebody like Mike Brown, that's got to be like nails on a chalkboard, right? Like that yes. Had to piss him off, to be straight up on that.
Yeah, this is the problem they have now. There's no way to get into this situation and not have some emotions start to creep in. And the enemy of a good outcome in a negotiation is emotions. You got to just stay very calm, very practical. You know, stay with the facts. But once you reach this point, there's emotions involved, whether you like it or not. I don't care how patient you are, how even-tempered you are. It's just natural. People in this business, people playing, they're competitive. So hit this point, there's definitely frustration and some personal feelings that are hurt.
So what is Mike Brown doing with Trey Hendrickson right now? You know, Duke Tobin with Trey Hendrickson right now, do you think?
Same questions. I saw that Schefter reported that correctly, that the recent big deals have 3 years guaranteed in them. He also reported that so far the Bengals have offered one guaranteed. I don't know if that's correct or not. That would be very unfair and justify Hendrickson's actions. I do have to say that I think the 32.5 sacks of the last 2 years in his case is a little bit misleading. He's still a very good player. He's still way underpaid. He deserves a sizable raise. But if you watch the tape of last year, watch which games against which players he got his sacks, you would say, you know what, he's starting to descend a bit. So I think he's a little bit below that group, and maybe that's the nature of the dispute, or maybe it's the length of the guarantee. But same thing. They have no chance of having a good season without it. And they already have some big challenges to do that with the way the defense is. But they have no chance if they lose the only proven pass rusher on the team. So unless he's being extremely unreasonable, they got to find a way to get that done, and sooner, not later.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously Joe Burrow was at the podium yesterday, and inevitably the quarterback is going to be asked about this. And, you know, you're as a longtime executive, you know, in this league, I wonder how you think this soundbite landed in Cincinnati with all of these negotiations clearly going on or not behind the scenes.
Yeah, obviously disappointing. You know, you'd like to have all your guys out there day one to try to build that cohesion that I was talking about earlier. But it's not how it usually works out. You know, it's a business, and that is how it's gone.
That was a double sigh right there at the end, Joe. Like,
he was not masking his frustration very well, was he?
No, but how does that play into it on a negotiation? You were talking about emotions. You're most important for the lot. You know, all due respect to everybody on the Bengals, highest paid employee is saying this.
I think it matters. I really do, and I give Joe credit. You know, I'm not sure many players are in the position where they should try to be the GM, and he clearly didn't really want to comment, but at the same time, he didn't want to not support, you know, his fellow player. And obviously, he does want him there. You don't have to even ask him the question. You know that. But, you know, the Bengals have a long history, and it isn't, you know, being aggressive financially to maximize your chances of winning, kind of on all fronts. And now you got a quarterback that, you know, has a chance to be one of the greats, certainly one of the top, say, five in this era. You could argue even much higher than that if you wanted to, and I wouldn't push back. And, you know, he's being deprived of the chance that he should have by some decisions that are being made that don't put, you know, football first. You know, I think that there's a lot of guys, and Burrow appears to be with them, that obviously they love making a lot of money. They want to maximize their own income. But I still think if you put most of it against the wall and force them to tell the truth, they care more about winning than they do about the money. It doesn't mean the money isn't important. It doesn't mean they're not fighting. Just like every one of us that ever worked for a living wanted to get paid the most we could, you know, within whatever is reasonable. But then you find yourself in a situation where you should be, you know, establishing yourself partially through advancing through the deep into the end of the season, over the end of the season, maybe into the Super Bowls multiple times. He's being deprived of that opportunity in the last few years. And I think he fears it could go forward that way too.
And the last question on the Bengals, and then I want to talk to you about Chiefs and Eagles before I let you go on the rest of your day here, Joe, is a cash flow question about the Bengals. Is that fair? You know, because you got to put money in escrow for guaranteed dollars. And we were always talking about if the Bengals might be thinking about that. Is that a fair question to ask or wonder about all this, Joe, or no?
I'm going to say a little bit. I mean, the profitability of all of the teams in the league is such that the Bengals have to may use up, let's just say it that way, a larger percentage of their potential earnings than, for example, teams like the Eagles and Bears and Cowboys and teams like that. But they can still do it and have a meaningful profit at the end of the year unless they're really mismanaging the opportunities the franchise provides. So it is a little bit harder. It is some greater sacrifice on the parts of the owner. But you're not like, it's not like some of the other sports, or even the way it was not that long ago with football, where you could have the bottom few teams in the league literally not making much profit. It's not the case anymore. The last two CBAs have put the league in a position, and like television contracts, where every team in the league is doing well. But some still do better than others. So I'm not going to say zero. But the Bengals could still have a reasonable profit, in my opinion, and be able to afford player salaries and re-signing of players like most of the teams in the league are doing.
All right, let's finish up this conversation with a question that is potentially silly to ask on July 24th, but you have called your shot here before saying, you know, Eagles and Chiefs, they're built in such a way that we're going to see them, you know, winning Super Bowls again, if not trying to win a Super Bowl against each other again. Last year, they tried it again. You think this is another one? You think we might see it again this year? Joe, what do you think?
I think just because they're both still outstanding franchises and they're not done appearing at Super Bowls in the near. I happen to think both of them won't make the Super Bowl this year. I mean, one is I just think the Bills are just too good to keep almost getting there, although I lived through that and the Eagles went to five championship games in 8 years and only appeared in one Super Bowl and we lost it. So it can happen. I know too well, still have the scars from it. But I just think Sean's a really good coach. They get continuity in the coordinators. They got great line play on both sides of the ball. And Josh Allen is a true difference maker. So I just don't think they're going to keep getting close and not get there. So I think they're getting there. And I think the Eagles are still very good. It's totally realistic that they'll get to the Super Bowl. I could be wrong. But I think people are underestimating the quality of what they lost. Now, they have some people on the roster that can replace some of those people, but they lost two really good defensive linemen. They lost Graham, would be a third, although he didn't play the whole year last year. I think he played like the first four games or something like that. They lost a starting corner. They've lost some depth. They're counting on some young players in the secondary, some that haven't played much yet, a few that started to play and look like they have it. So I think that this the Eagles are a little bit more likely to still be really good, could easily make the Super Bowl, but I think there's a chance that a couple of the other teams have risen up to the point where they have as good a chance or better.
Give me the names of those teams. What do you think?
You know, so my surprise kind of is Tampa Bay, which I think people are kind of underestimating.
Okay. They,
and rarely do you see a team get into the Super Bowl that doesn't have strong lines, and I think they have that. And an excellent coach in Todd Bowles. Again, one year I recommended Dan Quinn in Cleveland. The next year I recommended Todd Bowles. And obviously we didn't hire either of them. And after the Jets experience, I'm sure you didn't think much of Todd Bowles, but I think
No, I just thought it was, again, just, you know, cards are stacked, man, frequently when you're trying to coach the Jets with a new quarterback there. But so Tampa and who? Would the Rams be on that list for you, Joe?
No, well, I think the Rams have it. The NFC is a much harder pick for me than the AFC.
Right.
But I am actually going with Minnesota. I think that they finally upgraded their offensive line. I think that will really help the quarterback. I think the coach is outstanding, the scheme. Listen, we had Andy Reid in Philadelphia. When McNabb got hurt, we won almost as many games. It wasn't because Donovan wasn't great and invaluable. It was because Andy was so good and the rest of the staff under him, so they knew exactly how to take advantage of the strength. So McCarthy's going to need a little time, but I think he's going to do well. And I think everything around him is improved on a team that was already, you know, very good. So that would be my favorite. My sleeper would be Tampa Bay.
Joe Banner, I love it. As I texted you, love our chats, man. They're great. Look for more of my texts and calls, and we'll get you back on as long as you're willing. Appreciate it.
Enjoy it as well.
Right.
Pleasure.
Back at you. That's Joe Banner, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's called a shot. Minnesota, where does the town Bills, I imagine, have a much better odds in towns that don't have a Mo Green plaque or signpost.
It's funny, as he was saying that, I was also looking it up, Rich.
Okay.
This is courtesy of FanDuel. Bills to win the AFC is plus 340.
What would that mean?
What does that mean? Bet a dollar, win $3.40.
No, I know that. So, but what are the odds? Like, I'm a little bit more attuned to, like, what is that? An 8-1, 7-1?
No, plus 340. That's 3.5-1.
3.5-1.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have the
just
same.
Just goes to show you how great at gambling.
They
or
have the
to
same odds
I am.
As the Ravens. They're the two favorites to win the AFC.
They are.
Yeah.
Over the Chiefs.
Chiefs are plus 410, so 4-1. And then big drop off. Bengals 11-1. Texans 12-1.
What are the Vikings?
So the Vikings are actually better than the Bucks. So the Bucks are 13-1 to win the NFC.
Right.
Vikings are 10-1.
Okay.
About the same as the Commanders. Commanders are plus 950.
But notice again,
Eagles are big favorites.
Notice
NFC.
Joe's thinking about how neither the Chiefs nor the Eagles are going to get back to the Super Bowl in his estimation, or will, not can, is the Eagles lost this, they lost that, they lost this, they lost that. And the Chiefs aspect is like, odds are Bills are going to break through at some point, so I'm just going to go with the Bills. It's not like the Chiefs lost this, the Chiefs lost that, the Chiefs lost this and that. This coordinator gone. They're running it back. And they're you can make an argument that they are better.
They're not going to go 11-0 in one score games.
I understand. That's the point. It's that eventually somebody else is going to get past them. And I will just counsel once again against that.
You get better odds if you take the Chiefs, but a Bills Vikings Super Bowl is 42-1.
Dude, if it happens, it's the Banner Bowl again. Last year, it's the Banner Bowl because he was, you know, he basically helped birth everybody in both of those teams into the league.
Bills Bucks, you know, Super Bowl 58-1.
In terms of architects and coaches.
All right.
We will take a break. The Browns stating Kevin Stefanski about the plans. And the Jets have given an update on Justin Fields. And I've got a top five list.
Hey.
And the phone lines are lit. Oh, baby. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a sec. So, you know, we love talking movies around here. You know, we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So, You know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie. Also, Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes. And the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. It's kind of difficult to describe to people who were unfamiliar with it, as you might have been.
Patrick Mahomes?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
Yes, I have met Patrick
Mahomes. He's one of my heroes.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Oh. Okay.
I root for that team, even though I've never lived there.
Yes.
I think he is just phenomenal to watch.
Apropos of...
Nothing.
But I was going to talk about the season finale of Barry, and you were talking about the season finale of two Super Bowls ago.
I was hoping Patrick was in it.
Next time you come on,
yes,
we'll make sure Mahomes is on the phone. We'll do that.
Truly?
You like him that much, huh?
I think that his ability is such a cut above. He is so passionate in the way he plays.
Yes.
He is so improvisorial in the way he plays. He is so sure. I just think it is instinctually great, actually.
Okay. Well, he now knows that, and we will make sure that we'll make this happen.
Yeah.
It would be my
honor.
Does
he listen?
Yes.
Patrick, hi.
He does.
How are you?
These things...
So can I just say, no, if Patrick is listening, I'd like to, you know, we make a great chicken stuffed with ricotta and spinach.
Yes.
With an unbelievable reduction. It can be yours if you're here in L.A.
Well, the Chiefs come play the Chargers, right? The Chiefs
they
play
do.
The Chargers.
They do, actually.
We'll make this happen.
Those guys are good, too.
Yeah, they
I
are.
I mean, they're good quarterbacks.
Yeah, they are.
They are not Mahomes.
That is correct. The great, lovely Henry Winkler. The fact that he then did meet Patrick Mahomes. It's truly one of this show's greatest achievements. And one of my most pleasant professional moments. I can't believe it. All right. Do we have an update on Justin Fields? I got to have it. I want to have it. I must have it. From the Jets Twitter account, a dislocated toe in his right foot. He's day to day.
Day to day.
That's good. That's a good sign.
Aren't we all?
Day after day is a great song.
Since I turned 50.
Time after time.
It's day after day. Is that Badfinger? Is that what it is? Day after day. Listen.
It is Badfinger.
Thank you.
Look at you.
Good job, Rich.
Listen, I've done a Fifth Dimension, a Badfinger, and now also, just to be contemporary, a Stud Buds mention on this program. Oh.
I mean, we're full listen, service here, man. You come here, you get everything.
Listen. You do.
You know?
Okay.
No need to go anywhere else.
Also quote the Jets starting quarterback.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
Avoided serious injury and significant missed time.
Okay, great.
He could be back tomorrow.
Okay.
See?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, Rich.
I kind of would. I don't want to.
Of course it would be.
I don't want to see this.
Plus the kid, too, on top of it. This is his moment.
I like Justin Fields.
Yeah.
This is his moment.
Yeah.
Half full, half empty.
Okay, we'll see. Tomorrow.
Rich, be positive.
I'm
the
trying
sun will
to
come
be.
Out tomorrow.
I'm trying to be.
The thing is, what's funny is that you're positive about every aspect in life except the Jets.
Well, there's 56 years of having a front row seat.
Yeah.
I get it, but you know.
How did you feel before the Red Sox started winning? It's like here we go again.
Always,
every time.
Always gonna blow it.
Well, how was it when you were down 3-0 to the Yankees in that ALCS? You were like
I didn't really want to even want to
exactly.
watch.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. You're like burn it down.
Trade everybody.
Right. Trade everybody. Burn it down.
Yeah.
That could happen in a Jets.
Just saying.
Game. Look at it.
Just saying. I'm just giving voice to the tons of people that I know. Yeah. But as you know, if I wind up calling a Jets game for NFL Network later on this year, that goes out the window.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, I know. I just want a close game. That's it. Anyway, with all due respect, I want Justin Fields out on that field. Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, it'll be on the same field where Caleb Williams kicked serious ass last year in Tottenham. His best game as a pro. That was the final high water mark for the Eberflus era. It was in that building. Okay. So that's an interesting. So the first 17 minutes of this show, pay no attention to it. Can I take it all back? Honestly, Greeny on Get Up today sounded like Kennedy got shot.
No, I thought it was Walter Cronkite.
I
was
like, yes.
Right. Smoking a cigarette, my like God. About to cry.
Jeez. Well,
he didn't. He said he didn't want to like give his thoughts because he wasn't sure he was going to be able to hold back his anger. So he let everybody else speak.
All right. The Cleveland Browns. Let's talk about another team of fan base. Might have a few scars or two from throughout the years. Who's going to be the quarterback? Okay, you got old man Flacco, who won... Well, he is.
He's younger than we are.
But, I mean, I know that. I know that. But in terms of the National Football League, there's longer teeth. We've seen shorter teeth NFL, right? We've seen shorter teeth.
Old man Flacco.
Oh, the last time we saw him in a Cleveland Browns uniform, he won Comeback Player of the Year. And all he's doing is coming back from the couch.
Old man Flacco's another good name.
Okay. You got Kenny Pickett. And you got two rookies. Two.
Utah.
Doc, give me two.
Rookies.
Give me two.
Good Lord.
Cleveland, give me two.
So what's the plan, Coach? Hit it.
Yeah, I think with all things depth chart, certainly quarterback, I have a plan that's in pencil. And, you know, we have to take in information every single day, take in how guys are handling certain situations, and then adjust from there. But... We'll get to those type of decisions later on.
But is it possible that maybe like the decision could linger all the way up until like maybe you know the week one?
Till inactives come out on week one, you're saying? Listen, I think the big thing for me is putting our guys in position where we can evaluate them. I think they did a great job in the spring. All four of those guys. We'll continue to put them in some situations, but ultimately we'd love to make a decision sooner than later.
I love Stefanski. He does. He's really good at this thing. Kevin, we want a time frame. Not sooner rather than later. Come on, man.
Week one.
We want answers. I want to know. I want a date certain. You know? All right, so let's ask Flacco. What do you know, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I went home in the beginning of June. You're like, are you the starter yet? Like, what, you know?
So yeah, it's not added pressure. It's honestly a lot of. It makes it a lot of fun. It's almost like takes pressure off because you that almost helps put me in the moment and see it for what it is. You know, you wish you could see it as from a 12, 11, 12, 13 year old's eyes. Mm. So when you hang around them and you see the questions they ask and the way they phrase things, it honestly kind of helps. It helps put things in the moment and kind of really remind you of what's important and why this game is so important to you. You know, so it's just a good reminder.
I love him too. I like all these guys. Maybe because we all have gray in the beard. By the way, the Stefanski gray beard, he's killing that look.
Mm-hmm.
Killing it. That's 13-year-old wants an answer.
That's probably for fantasy purposes.
And by the way, he's not referring to the two kids he's competing with either. Right? Can you believe the Browns drafted Dylan Gabriel over Shedeur Sanders and then drafted Shedeur Sanders anyway? Two rounds later, because he was more value in the fifth round. Now, that's a value pick right there. Well, you're the one who created that value by passing on him.
That seems like an ownership pick.
Dude, everyone keeps saying that. Everyone keeps saying that. Well, at least their reveal of their brown helmet went well.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So where is this? Is this Lake Erie? Is that where it is? It's Lake Erie. Let's make a big brown helmet. So. Let's reveal it. And the dude on the right. See ya. See ya. And it's multiple angles. Okay, that one's from afar. Somebody was like, I guess, shooting it with the jet ski.
Oh,
the jet ski,
fast.
But it looks like the other person. Okay, here we go. Number 8, right there. See ya.
Oh, see that? I've done that on a dime.
Is that the guy on
the actual camera? Oh God!
My POV.
My POV.
My sacrifice.
Can you pop that last one up one more time? Thank goodness the guy's okay.
Yeah,
could you imagine the last thing you see is a dude wipes mascot? That's not the way.
The Cleveland Browns being sponsored by dude, one more dude time. Wipes is kind of hilarious if you think about it.
It's pretty hilarious.
The Browns, dude wipes.
Pretty hilarious.
I mean, it is.
Rich just stares at me.
Dude wipes.
He's got a point.
Everybody.
You got
just throw the play whole thing one more time. Go for it. Just take it. It's just too good. Oh. He's off the side. Who's number 8 in your program?
Man down.
Who's number 8 on the Browns?
Cleveland.
By the way, jet ski all-star, and the guy's like, I'm all right. I got it. No, he hopped on. Number 8. Who is that?
Kenny Pickett.
Is it Kenny Pickett?
KP. Yeah.
Boy, that's you don't want to be that guy. And then dude wipes. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's not.
Down he goes, by the way, underwater.
Probably
not as clear than I would think if that's Lake Erie.
Probably an expensive camera he had too. Like that thing's done.
It's gone.
Got the footage. I mean,
yeah. I mean, look, you get the shot.
You got
Chris.
The shot. You do whatever for the shot.
So anybody's wondering what's going on with Browns camp, there's your update. The plan's in pencil. There's no time frame. It's sooner rather than later. Flacco's 13-year-old's like, Dad, what's up? Are you going to let rookies beat your ass out? Because we don't want you back on this couch anymore, Dad. It was nice for you to take us to school, but enough's enough. Let's start for the Cleveland Browns against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then somebody takes he dude wipes out.
Oh,
right?
Good job. Yeah,
right off the barge. Who said let's put a big brown helmet on a barge?
Price of Ciliano. Yeah. He had something to do with it.
Yeah, let's ask Andrew.
I wonder if that was Nate Zagora on there. I got to check him out.
Was he the one taking the picture?
I hope not. He just had a
baby. Well, you got his number.
I'll text him.
You know about his...
Ask him if Ross is okay.
Yeah, ask him if Ross is okay.
I'm going to text him right
now. He's all right.
Ross is a social media guy.
He was able to get the footage and IG it out. So thank God he's all right. Jeff in Detroit.
Jeffrey.
What's up, Jeff? 9-5-4, Mikey.
What's going on, fellas? I'm enjoying the show so much today. Wonderful conversation with Tyrann Mathieu. As I'm sitting here,
yes, sir.
I just thought about something, Uncle Rich.
Okay.
You are a bridge, the Eisen Bridge. You have entertainers that want to be athletes, and you have athletes that love entertainers. And you bring them together, man. you do it so seamlessly, it's not even funny. Definitely looking forward to you doing it on the new network. Let's get this win-loss game going.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh really?
Go,
you want to do
Jeff?
The win-loss game for your Lions? Okay, here we go. Give them some music. Bye. Jeff in Detroit wants in on the win-loss game.
Cousin Jeff.
All right.
Let's go.
At Green Bay, pal. What happens?
At Green Bay, we're going to start off with a victory.
That's a W. 1-0 home for Ben Johnson's Bears coming in.
We're going to – that's two victories.
That's 2-0 at the Ravens on a Monday night.
Lamar always gives us problems. We have problems with running quarterbacks. I don't know if the defense will be there yet. You can put that down as a loss.
2-1 against the aforementioned Browns.
Win.
3-1 at the Bengals.
That's going to be a win.
4-1 at the Chiefs.
4-1 with who?
At the Chiefs.
At the Chiefs. Win.
By the way,
we play the Chiefs well. We play the Chiefs well.
That was a great sound effect. 5-1, home for the Bucks on a Monday night.
That's going to be a win.
That's now 6-1 off the bye, home for the Vikings.
Home for the Vikings. For some reason, I think that's going to be a loss.
6-2 at the Commanders.
At the revenge game, that's definitely going to be a win right there.
7-2 at the Eagles.
Loss.
7-3 home for the Giants.
Win.
8-3 Thanksgiving Day against the Packers.
Oh, that's going to be a win. That's going to be a win. We're going to be hyped that day.
Next week, Thursday night football, home for the Cowboys.
That's going to be a win.
Dude, 1-2. So that's 10-3 at the Rams.
Loss. I'm with you. Matt Stafford is coming. You know, he's one of those guys that has our cards most of the time. So that's going to be a loss.
10-4 home for the Steelers.
That's going to be a win.
11-4 at the Vikes Thursday night.
11-4. We're going to win.
12-4 at the Bears.
12-4 at the Bears. It depends on what we're looking like record wise.
You're going to need it. 13-4, Jeff in Detroit. There you go. Thanks for the call, pal. Always great to connect with.
The McDonald's snack wrap is back.
You brought it back.
Ranch snack wrap. Spicy snack wrap. You broke the internet for a snack. Snack wrap is back. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Tipping culture is out of control. Yesterday, I tipped someone just for handing me a napkin. So when Hotels.com gives me up to 20% off for being a member, I finally get tipped. And you know what? It feels good. Hotels.com. Members save up to 20% off at hundreds of thousands of hotels.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to Mitch in Dallas, who's been hanging on forever and a day. What's up, Mitch?
Mitch. Hey, Rich. Great show today.
Thanks,
football,
pal.
Football, football, football.
Thank goodness, right? All right, what do you want to do here, sir? What do you want to talk about?
I want to do a little Tampa Bay Bucks win-loss.
Did you hear Joe Banner while you were on hold say that the Bucks were his outside, sleeper team to make the Super Bowl? Did you hear that one?
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I got the same feeling this year. I think, Baker and the boys are going to do it.
All right, let's start it. Let's see how they're going to do it. Mitch in Dallas, what happens when they open the season at the Falcons?
They're going to win that one.
And then they're at the Texans on a Monday night.
They're going to go down there and they're going to catch Houston. They're going to win that.
That's 2-0 home for the Jets.
Win.
3-0 home for the Eagles.
They owned them last year, so I'm going to say they're going to win again this year.
That's a 4-0 start before they head to Seattle.
Where they lose.
Okay, 4-1 home for the 49ers.
Yeah, that cross country, they come back and lose at home to the 49ers.
That's 4-2. Then they go to Detroit on a Monday night.
Where they win that game.
Oh, boy, that would be big. 5-2 at the Saints.
Ah, my beloved Saints, too, but they're going to win.
6-2 off the bye, home for the Pats.
Win.
7-2 at the Bills.
Loss.
7-3 at the Rams.
Loss.
7-4 home for the Cardinals.
Win.
8-4 home for the Saints.
They win that, they sweep.
9-4, home for the Falcons on a Thursday night.
That's a loss.
Ooh. Okay, 9-5 at the Panthers.
You always win. You lose the games you're supposed to win. Win the games you're supposed to lose. They'll lose to Atlanta, but they'll come back, and they're going to lose to Carolina too.
Okay, now this is a savvy win-loss game player right here. You know that you got to put in some clunkers. 9-6 at the Dolphins.
That's a win.
All right, 10-6 home for the Carolina Panthers.
That's a win.
All right, 11-6. So if they
that
might win the division. You know, obviously, hold on a minute. You got them splitting with Carolina, splitting with Atlanta, and sweeping the Saints.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's 4-2 in division. 11-6, 4-2 should give you a home playoff game. And then, that's not the one seed. That's definitely not the one seed. You know.
No, but I just think it's their year. I think, and then they'll win the Super Bowl, and then next year they'll play the AFC North, and Baker will go into Cleveland and whip some butt there.
Appreciate the call, Mitch. Thanks for the time. You see, Baker was on New Heights saying that the Bucks are the only ones that everyone he's ever been to told him to tone it down. Mm. Although I don't think he was with the Rams long enough for them to tell him to tone anything other than to get into the playbook. Remember, that was the one where he showed up one day before?
Yep. Showed up on Tuesday, on Thursday.
I think he's probably referring to everyone else that he's been to, told him to tone it down. The Bucks are the only one saying, be who you are.
Yeah. It's working.
Dude, seeing him at American Century Championship.
Man, shotgun and beers.
I just wanted to hug it out with him. He's just a good dude.
That's your boy.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. I think we're each other's.
Yeah.
Boys.
I like Baker. He's the man.
I know. That would be great. Baker Mayfield winning a Super Bowl for Tampa Bay Buccaneers two years after Brady leaves.
A sneaky NFC pick. I like that one.
What was an overreaction Monday subject matter?
That'll be
the one seed.
One seed.
Okay. A lot of people calling shots around here. We'll see. So we just did the Browns, who's going to be the quarterback stuff, and we're talking about the Cowboys and the Bengals and what's going on with this deal, that deal, the other one. There are some training camp storylines not a lot of people are talking about, and I made a top five to give you the top five such storylines. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
The top five least discussed training camp storylines presented by Hyundai. In the win-loss game, every single time you hear the New Orleans Saints brought up, everyone's like, win. Win.
Every single time.
Who's the Saints starting quarterback? Anybody focused in on that?
No.
By the way, that's up in the air, isn't it?
It is.
Kinda.
Who is the Saints starting quarterback? That is number five on the list of the least discussed training camp storylines, because normally if there's somebody up in the air for a training camp quarterback battle, that's top of mind. But
shout out to Bobby Hebert.
Hey, Kellen Moore and the new AC there and Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck. Nobody's really zeroing in on that. That's number five on the list. Number four, we're talking about Micah. We're talking about Jerry. We're talking about Dak being brought in by Jerry in regards to Micah. We're talking about everything. We're talking about the new HC there, son of Marty.
Buzzing dirty doesn't not the right.
Who's going to run the football for the Dallas Cowboys?
Great question.
I told you this.
Javonte.
What's
Javonte
look like? Williams. Okay.
You're my boy, Blue.
Yeah, they drafted the kid from Texas. Huh. Is he going to be like some waiver wire pickup darling in week two because he's killing it?
Possibly.
What's a running game going to look like in Dallas? Nobody's talking about that.
Miles Sanders.
Number three on this list. They got Daniel Jones in Indianapolis to give competition for Anthony Richardson. But Anthony Richardson then got hurt. So I'm just assuming Daniel Jones is going to get the gig. But guess what? Number three on the list. Who's talking about the fact that Anthony Richardson is apparently healthy for training camp? Do we have a soundbite on this subject matter? Chris Ballard on the quarterback competition in Indianapolis.
Do you think people regret Baker Mayfield's timeline? Sam Darnold's timeline? Let's just go.
They changed teams.
Exactly. And so how about sometimes you got to have a little patience with a guy and let them grow through things. Now there's got to be, like, if you just know this guy, no, he can't do it. But if you think, hey, he's on the right trajectory, why are you going to flush him just because people outside think you should flush him. I don't agree with that. I think we need to give Anthony every chance to be the best he can be. And I think he can be really good, you know, but things got to come together.
And part and parcel of that is the Irsay family. How patient will they be? Mm-hmm. We don't know how patient they're going to be as owners either.
Great question.
And also, if you're Chris Ballard, you're definitely going to cross your arms and puff up.
Put the gun chill out.
Like that. Uh-huh. If you're wearing a polo shirt like that.
Yeah.
Number two, it's J.J. McCarthy's development. Is anybody zeroing in on this?
Haven't heard a peep.
Zero. Is it because it's the Vikings? You know what I mean? I don't know, man.
No idea.
No one's talking about that. And number one on this list, the least discussed training camp storyline is Cam Ward. Anything Cam Ward.
Just like the draft.
The number one overall pick in the draft has the entire decks cleared for him to be the clear number one starter in Tennessee, and nobody is saying a word about anything. Good.
You think we need one more?
Oh.
All right, we'll get one more.
This guy's been around so long, and he's so synonymous with his craft that you could refer to him by just one name. And go ahead, put it up on the screen. There he is, right there.
What is happening?
Einstein. No, I'm just kidding. So one more.
Oh, my God.
Is anybody? I know he showed up today at ACC Media Day. Anybody talk about that? Bill Belichick's coaching North Carolina football this year.
Bill. Almost forgot.
Bill Belichick is coaching North Carolina Tar Heels football.
It's been all quiet on the Bill front lately.
Right. So that's coming. And by the way, apparently North Carolina sold out all their home games.
Yep.
And this show for the radio is kaput.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.